internet. This is Tyler, and I love being left-handed.
This is Dave, and I'm looking at a suit on eBay for $20.
And welcome to Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games where we play old games and then talk about them. This week, we're talking about Final Fight.
We're going through the IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games, and good or bad, we're going to play them and talk about them. We're fortunate enough to have an awesome guest host from Atlanta with us today. He also happens to be a fantastic friend and the godfather of my corgi, Jacob. Welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for welcoming me with such open arms on Oslo. Cool.
You have a relationship with Final Fight?
I do. When you guys first told me about the Tadpog experience and I looked at the list, I said, oh, when you guys do Final Fight, call me. I want to be on the podcast for Final Fight because I had Final Fight for my Super Nintendo. It was one of the first games that I had, and I had such fond memories of it. So many fond memories. And now here we are.
Is that genuine? Are you being...
I legitimately had fond memories. I can now refer to them in the past tense.
So we just recently played it, and I guess how long had it been since you played it?
It came out in 91, so probably since 93.
Tyler, when's the last time you played it?
Before yesterday?
Yeah.
I would say... I recall third grade going over to a friend's house and him having that game. So it was probably about third grade.
I have a confession to make. I've never played it. I never played it before we played it.
Really?
I played Streets of Rage on the Game Gear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not Final Fight.
I noticed that every side-scroller beat-em-up garners the same sort of like, yeah, reaction. I don't think that any of us actually remember playing any of these games very well.
I remember some games on my Game Gear very well, but...
But the side-scrolling beat-em-up.
Like, side-scrolling beat-em-ups always make you go like, oh, Maximum Carnage. Yeah. You know?
I played that.
It's yes.
Oh, you remember playing it, but you don't remember like it's. So you could recognize it if you saw it, but in your mind's eye, it's kind of fuzzy.
No, my thing is even that it's well, Streets of Rage is kind of fuzzy to me. But I think that my thing with beat 'em ups is that you gloss over the things that you don't like about them. And you forget about, it's like, oh, they're kind of cheap.
Unless you're playing it to talk about on a podcast. And then all of those things are glaring and difficult to get over.
Immediately brought up, back to the forefront. And you have to place yourself back in the mindset of the kid who got 2 games a year.
Right.
Or something like that. And it's like, oh, well, you've got Final Fight. You better really enjoy Final Fight.
Make it last.
Yeah.
Make it worth it.
And Lord knows, they made it last.
Yeah, the programmers made it where, yeah, it's going to be game.
It's value.
It's gonna last you. Yep.
Well, this is our second Capcom game in a row. So not to show any favoritism or anything, but we kind of shit all over Mega Man. So I guess we're gonna shit all over Final Fight.
Sorry. Yes. 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 We are.
That's. I'm sure you guys will have a lot of great stuff to say when Street Fighter 2 comes up.
Yeah.
So you know there and
in a real Mega Man game.
In a real Mega Man. You.
Sorry.
Super Castlevania Street 4. I'll have good things to say about.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we should probably for those that are unfamiliar with Final Fight, I guess we should probably go ahead and talk about the mechanics of it. Or do you want to do... How do you want to do this? You're the host. I'm going to let you host.
Your guest host. Tell us about the game, Jacob.
Okay. So Final Fight is a... Like I said, it was released initially in arcades, but later released for the Super Nintendo in 91, where you play as either Mayor Mike Hager...
Hagar.
We have a last name conundrum, so any Tadpog listeners, please give us a shout and let us know how you pronounce the last name of the mayor of Metro City. And the Mad Gear Gang sends a message to the mayor of Metro City, Mike Hager, former Street Fighter, capital letters, and professional wrestler, that if he does not work with them, they are going to do something terrible to his daughter, Jessica, who they have kidnapped. Mike recruits Jessica's boyfriend, Cody, who's a rough and tumble, sort of vacant-looking dude in the, vacant good-looking in the Ryan Gosling sort of mold, I would say.
I'm stealing Nikki's bit.
I think I saw it. I really see it. Gosling has those, he's a lovely actor, but he has those empty eyes.
So Ryan Gosling draped in denim is Cody.
Yes, yes. Tight acid wash jeans.
Canadian tuxedo.
And you, march from left to right, punching out or kicking out, depending on who you're playing as, members of the Mad Gear Gang, all on a path to try and get Jessica back. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, not a whole lot to it.
Not much to it.
But that's kind of in the vein of the genre.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think probably the only side-scrolling beat-em-up that I've played that's had a more engaging story than that is Turtles in Time.
Yeah.
And that really doesn't have a story either. You just kind of make up your own narrative.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, well, I'm in feudal Japan now, so...
We're in a pirate ship now.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
It's really what is... X-Men about, what is Simpsons about, what is Double Dragon about, you know? It's, they're all just about march from left to right, hitting people.
And reclaim what was taken from you.
Yeah.
That's a very common theme.
Yeah.
Not only in video games, but more prominently, I feel like in side-scrolling beat-em-ups.
Yeah.
Something or someone, typically a girlfriend,
yeah,
has been taken from you. Double Dragon, Bad Dudes, Final Fight.
It wasn't April O'Neil taken in Turtles also?
Yep. Original arcade game, you get her back,
yeah,
at the end of the first level. But yeah, that still counts. I mean, that's what kicks
it
off.
Sets it in motion.
Yeah. Super Meat Boy plays into that.
True. Speaking of bad dudes, Dave knows that I've recently taken to collecting NES and SNES video games, and for Christmas got me A Boy and His Blob, which was the first game I ever owned, and Bad Dudes. So I thank him very much for adding to my hoarding of old gray cartridges.
You're welcome.
Here's two more for the B shelf.
Well, if you want to, we can do a special episode on A Boy and His Blob.
That might be good. Both versions. Now I have both versions.
Because that game destroyed me as a child. There may be more than one level, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, me either. I wasted all of my... I didn't have the cognitive ability at that age to be able to figure out, because it's essentially a puzzle game.
Yeah.
But the only puzzle is use your blob, use this item to get past this obstacle, and every item is the blob.
And there's Nintendo logic in there.
Yeah.
Where you have to figure out whether or not a ladder is appropriate in this situation.
Mm-hmm. No, because I remember dying a lot and trying to fathom ketchup jelly beans.
No.
But we're a lot smarter now.
So we hope so.
Figure this out. So back to Final Fight. So there's Cody, Hagar, going to get Jessica.
And then Guy, depending on what version you're playing, but if you're playing the SNES version, you only have those two.
That's right. He was in the arcade game.
If you're playing the arcade version, you get Awesome Karate Man. Guy, who literally, he says it in the intro, I'm coming along because Jessica's my friend too.
Yep.
That's all he says. What a good guy. I didn't mean to do that.
Maybe not the best judge of character. I don't know.
Because
you don't know. Maybe he has ulterior motives. Maybe Guy is hoping to win Jessica's heart over and cut Cody out of the picture altogether.
Well, if you play as Mike and Guy, then I think that's, in my mind, that's what happens.
And see, that's where you could actually introduce a good narrative to a side-scrolling beat-em-up.
And so your narrative, the meta-narrative that, like, you, the player, puts on top of it.
Yeah, and I think that happens a lot. Like, I know with Turtles in Time, it happened for me, but I think in games like this, I think it lends itself to, it's kind of mindless to go left to right, killing everyone in your path. And I think your mind wants to work.
Yeah.
And so you start coming up with these stories in the background.
We were talking about how one of the best things with a side-scrolling beat-em-up is the sense of community. And I think that it's the sense of community is fostered in the arcade back then, insofar as that is where video game nerds would go to play their games. They would go for cutting-edge technology, but they would also go to be around other people of their ilk because it was very much a nerd's pursuit then, as opposed to the thing now where every bro will play Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that, oh my gosh, so thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly gets lost in this translation of Final Fight. Because I don't know if you guys who have played it out there remember it, but it's one player.
Yeah, on the Super Nintendo, it's one player.
It is one player on the Super Nintendo. If you think about Final Fight and you think about Cody and Hagar fighting their way through the Mad Gear Gang, what do you think would be fun? Both of them fighting together? Maybe you inviting a friend over and being able to, you know, play this kind of mind-numbing game and not have to think about it and just enjoying each other's company or just playing alone.
I had this game when I was little. You would think mm-hmm. Because we all got together excited to do a co-op mm-hmm. slash girl beat 'em up. You would think that since I played this game so much when I was little that I'd remember that. But I guess it reflects on, you know, how many friends I had when I was little that it was a single player game and I just had no idea.
I care so much about story in games. I like never play online multiplayer now because I just didn't have a bunch of friends that came over to my house. I had friends, but I didn't have a ton of friends that I knew played video games. Honestly, until I met you, Tyrone, that's when I started to sort of cull my friends that were into gaming.
Because it was in high school and we would sit at Europe, we would go to Suncoast, buy the latest Dragon Ball Z on VHS.
Yes.
And then go over to Jacob's, stay the night and watch the 3 episodes of Dragon Ball Z that I'd paid $30 for.
And play Suikoden and Final Fantasy Tactics. And just get to know each other. Becoming a gamer, those are some of the great formative moments. And being able to share those experiences with friends are it's so much fun. And Final Fight just misses out on such an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, it is a lot easier to open up when you're smashing someone's face in.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And I don't know if it was just a technology thing at the time or if they were rushing to try and get it out for, because it was a release game, right?
Or I believe really
it was a launch game. I could be wrong about that. And I'm sure that one of the listeners will be happy to tell me that I'm wrong about that. But I believe it was a launch game.
And it was a port from the arcade.
From the arcade.
There's another, you kind of touched on it earlier. Not only did they cut multiplayer from the arcade, mm-hmm. but Guy isn't in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They cut Guy completely because he was a playable character.
And they also cut a whole level.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was
I have a few more things that they also, because the villain in the first stage, his name
Thrasher.
Is Thrasher.
Thrasher.
And originally his name is Damned. So they changed that.
No E.
Yeah, just D-A-M-N-D. And then Katana, who is the boss in the second level, was originally Sodom. So I guess game developers didn't like that.
And you brought up, Jacob, you brought up a good point the other day that I had forgotten about his appearance.
I believe is in Street Fighter Alpha.
He is in a Street Fighter later on.
As Sodom, isn't
he? Sodom.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. So if anyone out there played Street Fighter Alpha and was really, and felt like Sodom was familiar, no, it's not for the reason that you think.
It's not for all the sodomy you commit. committed upon you.
Yes. Because
in the beginning, when it shows Jessica on TV, Jessica is originally in her underwear, and they put her in a red dress. There are girls that you fight in the original that the translators thought real bad girls. They thought looked like transvestites, so they changed them into Sid and
Billy
look more like Billy Idol lookalikes now as opposed to women
punks.
And that's kind of interesting that you mentioned both of those changes because that kind of ties in with Nintendo's MO. Like it's been their MO from way back in the day to make things less offensive always.
Yeah.
Always be changing the game to make it less offensive.
Yeah.
It seems kind of silly now to think that, oh, well, she's in her underwear. We better put a red dress on her. And it's not her full, I mean, it's just her bra, right?
You still see the same amount of breast. Either way, it's just a little different color.
But you could say that for anyone wearing clothing. It's the same amount of breast.
Well, it's just as revealing as
there's
underwear.
There's just more shit over them.
It's a palette swap.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, speaking of palette swap, there's a lot of palette swap in Final Fight, as there is in every game of the era. But still, it's kind of ridiculous with all these meth-inspired colors going on in Final Fight that the Mad Gears are wearing.
What are the levels of the enemies? You've got the Doug and Jake and Simons, those guys who are your sort of base level generic baddies.
They're your Dans, essentially. Yeah. They're your Dan from Street Fighter.
Yeah, wearing overalls that are all the same color, mm-hmm. basically. And then you move up to
your 2Ps.
2P.
Mm-hmm. And your 2Ps and your Js.
Yeah.
And they're a palette swap, and they're roguish. I hate these guys in the later levels because because they just egg you on to punch them and they keep dodging out just barely. They're too fast. Barely, and they lead you, and then before you know it, there's three Jakes behind you and they punch you, and as soon as they do, Tupi runs up and fucking punches you in the kidney.
And then we've got the Wong Hu and G Oribur. We thought forever about trying to figure out, because there are tall guys, big guys, not the tallest, but big guys named Axel and Slash.
Mm-hmm.
Obvious references to Guns N' Roses. And then later on, there are also...
Slash still looks like a gigantic Michael Jackson to me. I mean, he just looks like a gigantic Michael Jackson.
He looked like a greaser to me, but I can totally see where you're coming from.
He's the open wearing jacket. The Thriller jacket. Or is it Thriller? I can't remember.
I'm not one to ask about music trivia, so I'm probably wrong.
And then... Of course, later we will get into the Andres. We will get into them, believe you me. But an obvious reference to Andre the Giant, and I racked my brain to try and figure out what G Oribur stood for, because I thought it was so oddly specific that it had to be something. I have no idea what it is.
Still
not. None of us can figure out what it is. But anyway, G Oribur, Wong Hu are rotund fellows who rush at you with their heads down and charge into you. And then there are the Andres.
The Andres.
I'm going to let you cover that, Dave.
You want me to talk about them?
Oh, yeah.
I've got a problem with them.
They're your favorites.
Well, they're big guys. Obviously, like you said, Jacob, they're Andre the Giant.
They're the biggest of the non-boss characters.
But they look like, to me, they look like if Andre the Giant, Fred Flintstone, and Wreck-It Ralph had a baby, is what they look like. They're these tall, almost...
Three men engage in a three-way, somehow produce a child, put it on the streets of Metro City, and this is what happens.
Andre is the result. They essentially will pick you up and throw you around and tag team you anytime there's two of them on the screen at one given time, which isn't bad early on in the game, but it gets so frustrating like in the later stages where every time the screen moves, you fight a pair of Andores again. It's like, here they are again. But this time, they don't only have one life bar. You have to get through, you know, four of them before you actually start doing damage. So they're a little frustrating. The first time I think you fight two really tough ones is at the end of stage... Is it two or three? It's two.
It's not even at the end.
Oh, that's right. It's in the middle. It's in the middle of the stage where you fight Eddie.
Yeah, the stage three.
Stage three.
So in the beginning, the first Andre you meet is Andre Jr.
Right.
Second Andre you meet is just Andre. And then in the cage,
you meet G Andre and you Andre. And when we were playing, it was really bothering me. I was like, what does G and U stand for? And we were talking about like maybe use Ultra.
Ultra and Giant.
Something like that.
It's a Japanese game. Ultra Andre and Giant Andre. That Giant Andre makes sense because it's Andre the Giant.
I did some digging around.
You're welcome, Internet.
So I'm about to lay this on you, Internet.
This is a Tadpog exclusive.
The G and the U for these Andres is Grandpa and Uncle. You fight Grandpa and Uncle Andre in a cage match. I guess it doesn't make sense at all.
It doesn't make any sense.
Just several, you know, a few generations that all look exactly the same.
Generations of Andres, G and U. This obviously city, Grandpa is the toughest Andre.
This city does have a problem. That is a sign that your city has a problem. When three generations of a family have been doing low-level crime...
with no hope to rise.
And they're okay with it? That's a problem. It's also a problem.
That's just a job at that point.
Can you imagine your grandpa and your uncle agreeing to go into a cage and fight to the death with the mayor?
And they throw a pipe, a katana, and a knife just in the cage. Just
there you go.
I mean, this is like a fever dream.
This is the kind of game that we're talking about here, folks.
Entertaining.
Where, you know.
I mean, it's entertaining. It's frustrating.
But it's really only entertaining when you find out it's Grandpa and Uncle. Up until that point, it's just frustrating.
That's true.
But then you find out it's Grandpa and Uncle, and suddenly this whole narrative springs to life right in front of you.
I played through a few continues, and then, you know, just rage quit. But it shows you... shows you Dave's tenacity that he's able to hold on and keep playing after Jacob and I have just been fuck these grandpas and uncles.
We're done.
Which is a phrase I say entirely too often to begin with.
Yeah. You hear that, all you grandpas and uncles out there? What the fuck are you going to do? We're on the internet.
But yeah, and there's obviously not much to be said about the story. And the credits are only, you know, you watch the credits for Mass Effect and it's like, put down the controller, come back in 20 minutes and you'll be able to see whatever they have for you after. The credits for this game were... Oh, that's it? Those are the credits? That was like 45 seconds long.
Yeah, and I think that's another kind of touchstone for the era. I mean, I think that goes hand in hand with palette swap. Mm-hmm. It's like palette swaps and credits that show you the developers had no intention of you beating the game.
Yeah.
because it is literally like Yuki's mama, this game is going to press in 4 hours. Do you think you could write an ending for us?
I'm on it. So let me go ahead and put this out here so that people don't have to play through it. Spoiler alert. I will tell you what happens at the end of Final Fight. So spoiler alert for a game that came out in 1991. If you feel like you're going to play through it, skip forward about a minute, because that is as long as it will take me to say what it is. So start.
You could perform it verbatim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Start now. Hagar gets back with Jessica. Oh, daddy, I was so scared. Don't worry, I'll never let anything bad happen to you ever again. I love you, daddy. She doesn't even say daddy. She says father, which I thought was really odd and specific. But both times she says, I love
Very
you,
cold.
Father.
Isn't that cold?
Yeah.
It's like she just saved.
Yeah, professional.
Thanks for retrieval, bio dad.
And then, hold on, I only have like 30 seconds of this spoiler alert left. And then she runs up to Cody at the end, because Cody's just walking away like a badass. And she's like, whoa, where are you going? And he's like, I can't rest, not as long as evil is still out there. It's something like that. He literally says, not as long as evil still lurks. And she just says, oh, Cody. And it goes to a picture of their feet, and then she gets up on her tiptoes.
She levitates, I believe. Like, I'm not sure.
Like, intimating that they have kissed. Thank you for playing Final Fight from Capcom. And
what do they do in the arcade, I wonder, for Guy? I hadn't thought about that until right now.
He's standing in the background, probably.
He's in the bushes. Like,
hey, Jessica.
Just beady eyes. He's hunched over.
I mean, like, how do you feel hanging out with, like, your best friend's girlfriend? Like, just kind of sitting there, awkward silence.
I'm also your friend.
Talking about the guy you have in common.
Probably doesn't want to be a dick and be like, I helped too. Actually, Grandpa Andore, that was all me. Cody got uncle and I got grandpa.
I don't know if you, but I'm the only person who's an actual trained fighter here. You can tell by my karate gi. So these guys were taking their lives into their own hands. I'm a trained professional. You're welcome.
I'm just glad I'm not here apologizing to you, Jessica. The blood of your boyfriend and your father are on both of my hands.
Yeah, what if Guy just, you know, right after he kicked Belger out of the window, just killed Hagar and Cody. Just, now I will run Metro City. Goes mad with power.
Tyler, you started talking about Thrasher and Katana/Sodom. So would you like to tell us about the rest of the bosses? Eddie, maybe? I think he's the next.
Yeah, because he goes damned/Thrasher to Sodom Katana.
Sodom Katana.
There's Masamuna.
That's my next D&D
weapon. New epic
weapon.
Mm-hmm. The Sodom Katana.
No one wants that.
And then you fight the crooked cop, Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
EDI,
which made me think of Fallout the first time when I saw it the other day. But it's a strange boss fight. Of course, the only health available to you during that battle is the gum that he spits out onto the ground that you can pick up and eat.
I'd like to interrupt.
To regain some health. Full health.
I know we're not doing shout-outs now, but I'd like to interrupt and thank Matt Barger for the help there. He posted on Facebook, don't forget to eat his gum for a health refresh. And at first saw it, I had no idea what he was talking about, but learned pretty quick.
Yeah, that's true. You walk over there and his gum is where he was originally standing. You eat it.
It's kind of gross.
but totally refills your health bar.
Yeah.
100%.
It's kind of a big deal, but even if that happened in real life, I don't think I could do it.
I could.
Really?
Yeah.
If I were battered
and
broken.
That's a Tuesday for Jacob.
Did you hear how certain I was?
Yeah. No, it was scary. But if I were battered and broken in the street and a cop that looked like he also lived at barbecue on the river spit his gum out onto the ground, even if I knew 100% that if I ate this gum, that I would just be able to stand up and walk home. I don't think I could do that.
Oh, I would. Even though, yes, yes, no question.
And barbecue on the river is a local street festival here in Paducah, Kentucky.
I don't think they need, I think it's better if they don't.
They just think it's a guy with a barbecue, like a small black barbecue on the river, dressed like a cop.
Hey, you guys.
Just eating gum for.
That's what we'll do for barbecue on the river next year. Tadpog will have its own booth. And we'll all dress up like
Eddie.
Just and we'll sell gum.
The bariest bears that ever bared.
I'm glad you brought that up to stray from Eddie for just a moment. When we were playing the other day, you had the best idea. Well, together, I guess we did. How great would it be if this game, if Final Fight was reskinned, that all you fight are bears? just from start to finish. And then that makes it real easy for a palette swap.
Yeah. Mike Hagger just punching and suplexing bears.
Brown bear.
It would be difficult for...
Grizzly bear. Panda bear.
Polar bear.
Hold on. What would Elgato and...
Kodiak bear.
And Elgato... Which, by the way, I'm sorry, I forgot Elgato and Hollywood, who are my most hated villains, who are knife guys. They're knife guys, and they flip around with knives, and they fall...
If you could see the disdain on Jacob's face talking about these knife guys.
Knife guys.
And his knife dance.
They fall on your head, stabbing downward, and then land on their feet. Elgato means the cattle, I think.
And my wife, using Google Translate, said that Elgato means the cattle. So if any of you speak Spanish and wants to correct us, please tell us.
G-A-T-O. Mm-hmm. Not G-A-T-O. But that's... It might... It probably is intended to be the cat... But, you know, who knows? I don't know. I don't know Spanish. I don't know what I'm
Yuki's
saying.
Yuki's papa, I need you to translate this from Japanese to English and then English to Spanish.
In Spanish.
Could you do that for me? By the way, we need this in 10 minutes. We go to press in 15.
By the way, times two, the internet as you know it totally does not exist. There is no translation website. I need you to go buy a dictionary.
Or call a guy you know that speaks Spanish.
Got him.
So, I cut you off completely. Eddie.
Battling Eddie is the focus of a very good internet video, if anybody has close to 10 minutes to spend on it, called The Ballad of Mike Hagar, which is a large rhyming epic about the hero of Final Fight that I recommend. I recommend anybody with a little bit of knowledge of Final Fight go see or, you know, watch it.
Jacob, you have a theater background.
I do.
So this is
foreground.
This is an inappropriate question to ask.
Okay.
Because I'm sure ballads have nothing to do with that. But is that a technical ballad? Is The Ballad of Mike Hagar technically a ballad?
I'm not sure. It's got a good rhyming scheme. I would be willing to let it slide. Mm. So I'm gonna say yes. It's much longer than a sonnet. Might just be an epic poem.
Tyler, I'm glad that you showed that to me because I hadn't seen it.
It's entertaining.
It is more entertaining. Like if you've got the 10 minutes, it's definitely worth a watch. I was skeptical, as I am with pretty much any video on the internet that it's longer than 3 minutes.
So yeah, but as soon as I pulled it up, and he was like, "Oh,
10."
I was like, "Just trust me, just watch."
10 minutes is a long time in internet time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't be sitting around watching 10 minute videos.
LOL, very funny. Who cares? Come on, we're professional. You guys are professionals. I'm just here.
We're steeped in the second episode. We are professionals.
That's right. We got the practice episode out of the way. So, Eddie.
He's definitely a leather daddy. I'm not, you know, that's just all there is to it. And not your average homosexual guy, but your average homosexual guy at Pride.
Right.
That's what Eddie is.
Right.
The least homosexual thing about him is how fat he is.
I like to think that maybe that was the intent. Like, that Capcom had a board meeting and they were like, guys, we got to come up with enemies and bosses for this game. Yuki's mama, sit down.
By the way,
I need your input.
We keep making that reference. That's literally a name in the credits. Yuki's mama.
I think it's actually Yuki's papa.
Yuki's papa,
but for some reason,
there's
a
Yuki's mama, there's also Yuki's papa.
Exactly.
So.
You can't have one without the other.
They both work.
You know.
Yuki's mama's breastfeeding.
Every Yuki. Every Yuki has a Yuki's mama. And so she's there at the board meeting. They're all talking about bosses and enemies. And I like to think that someone got up and said, do you remember that American
super pop group?
Yeah, the super group, the village people. And of course, everyone just kind of looks around the room, shaking their head. Well,
I thought you were going to say, everyone looks around the room. Of course we do.
Yes. Okay.
This is Japan. Of course we remember the village people.
You're right. I'm sure that's how it
We're all huge fans.
Scratch what I said. Right. Of course we do. We love the village people. Haven't you seen the posters I plastered all over my cubicle? What if one of them left the village people, and it's 20 years later, and he's a cop. He's a corrupt cop in Metro City.
Weirdly enough, he used to be the Indian in the village people.
He left because he always wanted to be the cop.
The cop was like, no, this is a sweet gig. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let it go.
Fuck this. I'm going to Metro City. He goes to Metro City.
Which is above the Atlantic Ocean.
Which, yes. Is
according to the map, that's how we know.
Of the Atlantic Ocean. He goes to Metro City. Well, there's no fucking village people in Metro City, so he can't be the cop of the village people, so he becomes an actual cop. And then, as you know, I mean, you've seen the crime in Metro City.
So much crime.
Every cop there is crooked. So, of course, he's a crooked cop. And he's got the charisma of a village person. So he quickly rises to the top and lands on stage 3.
So now I'm just thinking about the individuals of the village people are, of course, the village person.
This is what happens when you don't have a satisfying narrative in a video game. It's almost a gift because we make up ridiculous things like this, and it becomes so. Now, for the rest of my life, if I ever see Eddie, I will. That's all I will think about is former disgraced village person Indian.
It's Tadpog Final Fight canon. And now,
now we formally challenge Yuki's mama or Yuki's papa to come on Tadpog.
Come on, Tadpog.
And refute our claims about the mythos of Metro City.
We dare you. I don't dare.
Anymore. We're definitely putting that one behind the paid wall. If you want to hear our broken English interview with Yuki's mama, you're going to have to pay $1.99.
But if any of you do have formal knowledge of the Final Fight mythos relating to Mike Kigar and his appearance in Saturday Night Slam Masters,
which, oh my gosh, I don't have it in front of me, which in Japan, what is it known as?
That's your job.
Muscle Man, the Body Explosion.
No, it's Muscle Bombers, the Body Explosion.
The Body Explosion. I never heard of this.
Which is, it's a wrestling arcade game. I think it was released for the SNES. I'm not sure if it was released in America.
For the Super Famicom.
So, yeah, it might have been. Well, I mean, it certainly was, but I don't know if it was released in America. It's a game that features Mike Hager. And, well, I know that there's at least an American version. I don't know if it's arcade, because in the American version, it says that Mike is announced as the former mayor of Metro City. However, in the Japanese version, it is referenced that this happens before his tenure as mayor. So, I don't know what's canon. You guys tell me.
You mean the creatures on the internet, you, and not the two other guys.
Yeah,
in the
Yeah, not the two people in this room. You guys that I'm not looking at in the eye.
Because we know Mike Hagar goes on to Saturday Night Slam or Muscle Man, Muscle Bomber, The Body Explosion. And Marvel's Capcom 3.
Can I interject a fact about Mike Hagar?
Please. I always welcome Hagar facts.
Did you know, Tyler, that Mike Hagar is 6.64 feet tall? And he is 297 IB.
That's true. IB, the official unit of weight measurement in Metro City.
Right. Okay, please. I just wanted to interject.
It's weird. He actually weighs in at like 500 pounds. It's all muscle, but IB is just a different measurement.
The conversion mechanic is just impossible to memorize. So it was just easier for me to give it to you in IB because that's how I got it.
I get it. He's so strong. He lifts people out in front of his body that are huge and jumps straight up in the air with them. He's so strong.
But then after you fight Eddie, and then the level before that is when you smash a car.
Yeah.
A la Street Fighter 2.
Mm-hmm.
You can see very clearly the progression from this to Street Fighter, mm-hmm. I feel, to Street Fighter 2, because it had to have been at some point in the production of this, someone had to have said, well, you know what would be really fun is to be able to take Cody and Hagger and fight against each other. But I don't know. I'm not the expert when it comes to beat 'em up. You know, I've never even... Well, there you go.
I am. They had two options. Yuki's mama shot down the idea of reskinning the game as Bears and actually suggested the fighting genre. Little known fact.
It was initially, it was a bear fighting game. It was,
again, if Yuki's mama wants to disprove the claim, welcome to come on the show.
But otherwise, it's truth.
Or Yuki's papa. But anyway, on to Abigail.
But and then, yeah, the author, that is Abigail, who looks like a cross between Sting the Wrestler and Andre the Giant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Abigail is where I rage quit. That's where I was done.
I hate Abigail.
But you actually, you handled Abigail really well, I thought. You handled Abigail a lot better than you handled Grandpa and Uncle.
Those are tough. Yeah. I think those are the two toughest fights. Grandpa and Uncle Andre and Abigail. They give me so much trouble. But Abigail is just disturbing. Abigail is a disturbing boss because Abigail is a girl's name.
let's just call a spade a spade.
Let's just go ahead and put that out there. I've never met a man named Abigail, nor have I ever heard of a man named Abigail. Tyler, Jacob?
No.
And truth be told, I've only known one woman named Abigail, but still.
I know a lot of Abbies.
Yeah, that would even be more disturbing if the boss was named Abby.
I don't know about that because Abdullah the Butcher, the wrestler, is known as Abby.
Oh, I see.
So.
Well, that's a little.
And he's incredibly disturbing, mostly because he has hepatitis.
maybe Abigail does as well.
So don't let him stab your forehead and bleed into it.
That's his taunt when he comes out to the ring. I'm going to stab your forehead and bleed into it.
He has, next time you guys come to Atlanta, we can go to his rib joint. He has a rib restaurant in
After
Atlanta.
Everything that has just come out of your mouth, I don't think I'm ever going to his rib joint.
Yeah, let's talk about bleeding and hepatitis and then go to this guy's rib joint.
That's on his billboard when you're driving into Atlanta. Come to my rib joint. Let me stab you in the forehead and bleed into it.
He will stab you in the forehead. He will, and then he will sign the fork and give it to you for a fee. You have to pay him for him to stab you in the forehead.
That's behind the Abbey paywall.
And get some color going. That's true. That is a true fact.
Does he like Abigail in Final Fight? Turn red and rip his shirt off and run at you?
No, he's just always black.
And then his shirt magically regenerates so that he can do it again in 3 seconds.
he hasn't had that option.
See, so I missed this fight because after I rage quit and then I was tired and I went home, and then later on I get the picture of a downed Abigail from Dave later on.
I was pro.
With at that point 0 lives left.
Yeah, I'm glad you noticed that.
That was your final life. I was impressed.
And then, of course, I died
on
the next stage immediately. But it gave me enough knowledge to next playthrough.
Be able to figure out.
Yeah, get there.
And then final boss is Belger, I believe.
Yes.
I wasn't there, so I don't know it.
Like Crossbow rolls, Butler from what I've
Crossbow
heard.
Crossbow Butler or Jet from Cowboy Bebop. I swear to God, he looks like Jet. He rolls out all Professor X style in his wheelchair with Jessica.
Jessica on top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I was playing as Hagger, so I just
started beating the shit out of your daughter. Just started punching at
her. I bet you wish Guy was here, don't you? Yuki's mama took that fucker out of the game, so you're out of luck. God, we're professional.
If I can be serious for a moment.
No, I think I like this direction.
But yeah, it's you. I heard you, or I heard this much. I heard you swinging and just her. Ah, ah, ah. So it's obvious. I mean, I don't know what it was trying to get you to do, but what you were doing was just hitting Jessica, I guess. That's the vibe. And I don't know. I've never seen someone in a motorized wheelchair that was so fast that I could not hit what I wanted to hit on them.
It's all
rude. Because Jacob frequently hits people in motorized wheelchairs.
But if I...
He's easily. He handily strikes the wheelchair.
He is from Atlanta, Tyler.
With their hepatitis rib joints and...
Live in. But it, you know, it's... I could pop anyone on a motorized wheelchair where I wanted to pop them.
Standing wager.
It's like when you're at the DMV in Atlanta. They're like, all right, you want to register to vote? You're like, yes, of course. Come over here before I let you leave. I have to teach you how to hit a guy on a motorized wheelchair.
That's just knowledge that I know, that I know I have. It's like knowing how many wolves I can fight.
It's like, I remember being in like early high school and you being like, I see all these guys in the movies getting taken down by dogs. I'm like, I could take like one dog. I could if I was attacked by one dog, I'd be fine.
What kind of dog?
Any dog.
Any dog.
Don't, you just can't imagine it as a puppy.
There's a difference. If you walked out of my house right now,
yeah,
and you were attacked by a wolf, that would be a little different than Ayn coming at you.
Exactly, it would, but I could kill up to a wolf. I think I could kill up to two wolves.
with your bare hands.
With my bare hands.
You're full of shit.
Another standing wager. I think Jacob takes on all wheelchair challengers and up to two wolves.
I think I could wolves kill first. Up to two wolves.
With my bare hands. Are you talking about two wolves at once, or you kill one wolf and then we let the other wolf in?
No, I think that if they're both, it's just a matter of, like, it's...
You are out of your fucking mind.
Have you even seen The Gray?
I have not seen The Gray.
The movie was
even he had to have like glass coating his
well,
knuckles.
Well, he was fighting a pack.
That is more than two wolves.
What constitute a pack? Three?
I think four constitutes
four
a pack. Yeah.
Four and an alpha.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, that's a pack. I couldn't take a pack without glass on my fists.
Without guy at your side. I'm Jacob's friend.
I'll fight your wolves. Spin kick.
I had to explain this to Jessica. I'm not going to do the same thing for Jenny.
But yeah, I'm not
Jenny being Jacob's girlfriend. Shout out to Jenny.
It's true. Hi, Jenny.
Jacob saves his soft sensual voice for speaking slipping to Jenny.
Oh my god.
Oh shit. So yeah, Valger. He looks like Jet from Cowboy Bebop. And he's riding around. He comes out all Professor X style with Jessica in a dress.
Thank God.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to see.
I don't know if that's edited or not. Yeah.
If we wanted to see her in her underwear, then we just play arcade, I guess.
Is it worth all those quarters that big arcade makes you pump into those machines?
I was trying to think the other
when
day.
When I was in third grade, it would have been worth plenty of my parents' money.
I was trying to think the other day, how many quarters would it take me to beat the arcade version? I think if they kept it at 25 cent, I could probably beat it.
For the cost of buying the game.
I think I could probably beat it for $12.
How, is that assuming how many lives per? Is that assuming a quarter per life?
No, that's not.
Per five. What's the basic settings?
Because I don't know. I don't know. I guess you do get a life per quarter. That would make sense.
If Yuki's mama wants to dispute this and send us an original arcade cabinet and bet us how many quarters it would take Dave.
Cut to Yuki's mama, Scrooge McDucking into a vault full of quarters.
I just can't wait for Yuki's mama to hear this podcast and to be like, those motherfuckers are calling me out. I cannot stand for this.
It's a mansion in the Japanese countryside. All right, so I think we've pretty much thoroughly covered Belger.
We've talked a lot.
We've wasted enough time on him.
Here's the thing about Belger, you guys, is just do the spin attack when he shoots at you and you can deflect his crossbow bolts.
Or get behind one of his baddies. If you have one of his enemies, pro tip, if you've got one of his enemies in between you and him, him, he will straight up shoot that guy dead.
Which is a perfect bad guy thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably the best bit of programming in the game.
I heard that Yuki's mama wanted this to be a Cinemax exclusive movie in the 90s, but didn't get the funding, so she took it to Capcom.
And also, it was only 15 minutes. So, it's a problem.
All right, so then we also have, after the bosses, if Hagar and Cody were to fight, who do you think would come out on top?
I thought Cody was great, but I think he's definitely got some weaknesses. I think Hagar would tear him apart.
What I played, Cody's got the quickness, but I have to go with Hagar. He's the reason that I remember this game. So I have to go with Hagar.
No, I think he is. The game overall is pretty mundane. It's fun to make up our own mythos about it, but I think Hagar is the reason that the game stands out at all. Yeah. He's the reason to play the game. So although I was better with Cody than I was with Hagar, I would probably say Hagar would definitely down him in far fewer hits. So Hagar.
If any listeners out there disagree, show yourself. Let it be known.
Here's the thing. Okay. I'm gonna make an impassioned plea one more time for Hagar. It's spelled H-A-G-G-E-R, right?
Mm-mm.
It's A-R?
Mm-hmm.
It might be Hagar. All right.
That was a really shitty plea.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make an impassioned plea to change my mind. But at least Jacob, when he's presented with factual information, will change his mind.
Yeah, if it's
that shows
A-R,
us it's
then...
not a core belief of yours.
No, it's not. It's not. I don't believe in this like I believe in religion.
I know three things in my life.
Wolves.
I could take two wolves.
Motorized wheelchairs.
And then it's my Hagar.
Spelled E-R. This is like, that's, yeah, it's not, this is like the fiscal cliff of video games for me. Political humor.
Cue the crickets. Tyler.
Yes.
Tyler.
Dave.
Tadpog.
How many beards would you get this game, do you think?
I would have to say, since I gave Street Fighter X Mega Man, I believe four beards.
It's not, yeah, you got to keep track of how many beards you give stuff.
So important. I'm going to give, it's a very exact method of rating measurement.
I'm curious in your formula.
So I'm going to give Final Fight 6 beards.
Yeah.
But they are six blonde beards.
Ooh.
So if you know anything about beards, with black beards, red beards, blonde beards, salt and pepper beards, that 6 blonde beards pretty much says exactly everything you want to know about this game.
Sorry, blonde beard people out there.
We still love you, but you should probably shave that off.
Just get rid of that. It just doesn't...
Ask your lady if she says she likes it. Just saying, that's very feeling.
Yeah.
It's fine on Jamie Lannister, but that's really about it.
If it's really blonde, if it's a dirty blonde, it can work.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's because that's brown. But if it's honestly blonde, that's an issue.
Mm. These are true. These are 6 true blonde beards for Final Fight.
Tyler,
6 of them.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
How many glasses would you?
I would give it one pair of glasses, but for the enjoyment of Mike Hagar, I'm going to give it one pair of glasses and a monocle. The monocle belonging strictly to Mike Hagar.
Fair enough.
So after giving Final Fight its exacting ratings, so we're going to move on to what else we're playing besides this week's game.
Like every video gaming podcast.
Yes.
But it's a good practice.
We're dough that needs to be molded by the cookie cutter that is video gaming podcast section.
Big video gaming podcast.
Big video game podcast. Tyler, you want to start? What are you playing there, buddy?
Okay, well, because normally I like to have a console or a PC game and a handheld game. So for my handheld game, really I'm playing Professor Layton. Not the latest one, but the one prior to that. Mysterious Village, I think it's called.
Curious Bag.
Curious Bag.
Despicable Orange.
Encyclopedia Brown in the case of the Despicable Orange.
Well, I played that to wind down at night. I've always loved the Professor Layton games. About a year ago, I undertook a personal quest to defeat all the Zelda games, starting with the earliest ones that I hadn't beaten yet.
Mm-hmm.
I started playing through them, so I played through Zelda 2. I played through Oracle of Seasons and Oracle of Ages. I started through Majora's Mask. I played the Minish Cap, but I have been stuck. That only took me about 4 months. The other 8 months of the year, I've been trying to drag myself kicking and screaming through Spirit Tracks.
Is that what you've been playing this week?
I played one level of Spirit Tracks this week in addition to Professor Layton. I do not like it. I am only playing it because I want to beat all the Zeldas.
That doesn't sound healthy.
Yeah, it's just it's the completionist coming out of me. That's why I just, whenever I feel like, all right, let's work on this, I'll try to get through one dungeon.
Mm-hmm. Let's work on this.
But and then on PC right now, I'm playing through Borderlands 2 and thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah. I haven't played it, but I watched you earlier and it looked like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It is a game that I would, when it drops off in price a little bit, I would pick it up. It's when I got Dishonored, I was like, this is worth $30 to me. It is not worth $60. I think that's Borderlands is to me kind of a, it is worth $20 to me.
And that's why it's been, I've seen it on sale for between $20 and $25 in a few places.
Yeah.
But those sales are fleeting.
And that's the problem too, is that most of those sales would, you picked it up on Steam, correct?
Yes.
So, you know, being a guy who doesn't have a computer that is good enough to run video games, it's my computer freezes up and crashes when I'm playing Flash games. So it's, we're talking about that level here. The idea of playing even something as simple as Binding of Isaac would probably make my system just crap out.
So what have you been? Obviously, you're not playing PC games.
Well, I'm definitely not. I will be playing Dishonored when I get back to Atlanta, because I didn't bring my Xbox with me. But there's really, honestly, and you know, I don't know. It's I'm not as I don't care as much anymore about being up on gaming trends as I used to. But there are certain games, you know, an Elder Scrolls game comes out, I'm buying it. A Fallout game comes out, I'm buying it. A Bioshock game comes out, I'm buying it.
On release, saying.
Yeah.
Immediately. As soon as it's ready for sale, you're buying
it. Absolutely. Mass Effect comes out, I'm buying it. BioWare RPGs, I'm buying it. I don't care as much about the other minutiae. It's like, I feel like as an educated video gamer, I should really care about playing Assassin's Creed 3, and I just kind of don't.
Well, you've got priorities.
Yeah.
I mean, you've only got a limited... I mean...
That's the thing, is that I don't want to paint it out like, yes, everyone has priorities, but I'm an actor. I don't, like, that's my only source of income is being an actor. And we don't make a ton of money unless, you know, you're a star.
Well, you've been on Tadpog now, so all, we've 12 of our listeners, one of those probably
obviously
is a producer
is
for motion pictures
and is going to cast you for something.
Yeah, so
the theatrical Yuki's Mama.
Out of the 12 listeners, I'm sure that Chris Nolan is one of them.
Right.
And he's can't wait to find that next Batman.
So you're made.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to be made.
But my point is, even within gaming itself, you have your priorities. I'm the same way. And it really doesn't matter when stuff comes out. It's exactly like you said, Assassin's Creed 3. I mean, I will get to that when I get to it.
Yeah.
But there are other things that are much more important to me, like Bioshock Infinite.
Mm-hmm. And there are certain games that, like, if I had a computer that were capable, if I had the money to purchase a computer that were capable of playing it, I would right this second probably be playing Civilization 5 if I could, but I cannot. For being a video game podcast, I feel like I'm being a video game downer right now. How about I just talk about how excited I am about Bioshock Infinite? You guys, I'm stupid excited about Bioshock Infinite. And I was reading, there was a thread on Reddit that I saw that was, if you could erase one game from your mind and play it again, what would it be? And no hesitation, I immediately thought, oh, Bioshock.
As did I.
Yeah.
I saw that thread, same thing.
If you could play through it as if you...
As if I had never experienced it before.
I think that's a great answer. That would probably be on my list.
Mm-hmm.
I love Bioshock. I love the first Bioshock.
Mm-hmm.
What I wish Bioshock was, and the way that Bioshock introduced itself, I wish it would have kept with that.
Yeah.
It did to a certain degree, because it stayed really weird.
Yeah.
But in the very beginning of the game, that game was horrifying.
Yeah.
I thought that game was horrifying.
Yeah.
Because the beginning, it's in media res, essentially, you're in the ocean and you're like, what the hell is going on? And you're just constantly in these bizarre surroundings. And then you're introduced to Rapture.
Keeps you completely disoriented for the first 10, 15 minutes of the game.
And the scene where you first meet a splicer, that's one of my most memorable moments in gaming for me, is where there's the baby carriage and there's the shadow on the wall. That's what I mean. That I wish that BioShock would have been like that throughout the whole rest of the game.
Did I tell you that that was one of my first thoughts when going into Sleep No More? By the way, listeners, Sleep No More is an off-Broadway play in New York. I will be happy to do I would love for us all to go to New York and to go see Sleep No More and to do a special Sleep No More podcast about it, because I will talk about it all day. It's the most amazing theatrical experience I've ever been a part of in my entire life. It's Punch Drunk is the future. I wish that I could move to London and just study at their feet, because I feel like they're Punch geniuses. Punch Drunk are the people who conceived of and created Sleep No More. This is what they do, is immersive theater, where you are put into a situation. You are not passively watching a situation. Mm-hmm. You are put into it.
So there's BioShock-like moments?
Well, I'm specifically not going to tell the listeners much about it, because I want them to look it up and I want them to find out for themselves. But I will say that the first thing that I saw in Sleep No More, I get off at, it's in a hotel, and I get off at the fifth floor and I turn around a corner, and the first thing that I see are rows of hospital beds, and at the end of the rows of hospital beds, a little prayer station, and then right beyond that prayer station is a baby carriage. And the first thing that I thought of was, oh my God, it's like the first moment in BioShock.
That's a testament to how iconic that moment is, I think.
Yeah.
And also, I would love to go to Sleep No More. Ever since you started talking about it, I guess a year and a half ago, two years ago even.
I've known about it for a while.
Yeah. I've been wanting to go.
But yeah, that you're completely right in that it's iconic in that, to me, a baby carriage in a creepy place immediately takes me back to that point in that game. And I see what you're saying insofar as once you get your feet under you, it's a little bit more of a game. But when it gets to the turn in that game, my gosh. I would give anything to be able to play that again and not know that it was coming.
Because and then in Wired magazine, they have where they're talking with Ken Levine, and he lists a laundry list of all his influences for BioShock Infinite, and Sleep No More is one of them.
Oh my God.
So like, he saw it, and this experience is part of what brought him to BioShock Infinite. So
America, if you're in New York, sell your shoes. Do what you have to do to go see it. Or hell, if you're in London, look up Punch Drunk and see if you can go see something else that they're doing. They did a production of Faust that a friend of mine went to, and he told me a little bit about it, and it's the exact same kind of stuff.
Faust would be a good
interpretation. It was set in like 1950s Midwest, and like farmhouses, and they had a whole warehouse space. If I had the balls to do what I like really want to do with my life and didn't care about like marriage or having kids or anything like that, Hi, Jenny. I would leave and buy a ticket to London, and I would fly there, and I would just try and get a hold of them and say, can I please intern for you? Can I please work for free for you so that I can understand how you do what you do? It's amazing. And if I were to open a theater in Atlanta, I would open a theater with this immersive thought, and I know what my first season would be. We'll talk about that later. It'll be awesome. That's what I'm playing.
Well, what the whole BioShock thing actually ties into the feeling that I got in BioShock when you come across the baby carriage ties in a little bit to what I've been playing. I've been playing Amnesia. And that feeling that I had in BioShock where you see the carriage and you see the shadow in the tunnel.
Yeah.
That is the feeling that I have the entire time I'm playing this game. Where it's true horror. It is true horror because I want to continue playing. I want to see where things are going. The story is good. It's captured my imagination. So I want to progress forward. But at the same time, there are moments in that game that are so scary, so terrifying that to me that I don't. While I want to go forward, at the same time, I don't. I want to stop playing. I want to feel comfortable. Because even the quiet moments in that game are extremely stressful. Quiet moments in that game are punctuation. Essentially, every time there's a quiet moment, I'm finding clues, that kind of thing. The whole time I'm thinking, like, I'm turning around, looking to my left, looking to my right, waiting for something to happen. It's an unsettling game. It captures that feeling of when you swear that you caught something in your peripheral vision, and then you turn and nothing's there. Like, that's how I feel playing that game. I've got my own method where I shut myself in the office at night with the lights off, put my earbuds in, and just play the game. Being immersed is... it's fun. It's scary.
That sounds awesome. It does not sound like a thing that I would be capable of doing, but it sounds awesome because I'm a complete wuss when it comes to scary games. But that's what, you know, Tyrone and I have, we have played a lot of survival horror games as part of a group. My favorite social gaming experience isn't playing shoot 'em ups online. It's not playing Super Smash Brothers. It's playing survival horror games with a group of like-minded friends with the lights off, where you're all sitting there allowing yourself to be scared out of your mind at something.
That's really important.
Yeah.
To allow yourself to be scared, regardless of whether you're playing with a group or by yourself.
Yeah.
You have to go into something like that. It's just like a movie or a book. You have to go into it allowing yourself to be scared. You can't go in hard-assed.
Yeah.
Like, this game is not going to scare me, because then you're not allowing it to scare you. Of course, it's not going to scare you.
Yeah. But, self-fulfilling prophecy.
But there are... it's... the game has trained me, because there will be, like, subtle audio cues and visual cues. I mean, the visual cues are much more subtle than the audio cues, but you'll know. Like, you will know when something is after you. It goes beyond an audio cue and it becomes a feeling where it's like, oh, something is after me. And you get that paranoid feeling. And there have been times in that game where I've literally, well, my character literally is running down a corridor and I playing under my breath, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, and trying doors and they're locked. Trying this door and it's locked. And just knowing something, there's something chasing, but not seeing it. It's good. It's well done.
That sounds awesome.
We want to move on to shout outs.
Yeah, let's do some shout outs.
So I think we should give a shout out to our number one super fan, who was the first to like the podcast, has been on us about listening to everything that we have. Give a shout out to Blake Woods, a good friend of ours.
He'll be the first person to pay $1.99 to get behind the paywall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see if he's a true
fan. That's true, we'll see. And then another shout out to our good friend, a wrestler, since we've talked about so much Mike Kagar being a wrestler in the game and video games, to Leva Bates, who is a female wrestler in Florida, who her shtick is cosplay. She comes out in different as Chun-Li, and you know more about her career than I do.
Yeah, she friend of the podcast, Leva Bates. She competes in independent wrestling all across America. If you follow independent wrestling, that you probably have heard of is the Federation Shimmer, which is a women's federation. She is a tag team partner with Allison Danger for a tag team named Regeneration X, which is a reference to Doctor Who. But she will come out dressed as, you know, she sometimes does sexy characters like Chun-Li or like sexy Spider-Girl or, you know, sexy Iron Man. But she will also do ridiculous characters, like she came out recently dressed as Gandalf the Wizard, complete with full gray beard. So that's, she's fun, she's whimsical, and she's good at what she does.
Yeah, we love Leva.
We love Leva.
And if you want to follow Leva on Twitter, you can find her at Wrestling Leva.
Yes, yes.
And then obviously we like her a lot more than Blake, because we gave her a lot more time than Blake. So fuck you, Blake.
Sucks for you, buddy.
Jacob, thank you for coming.
Well, thank you guys. Thank y'all.
Hopefully we'll have a spot on the website sometime time where you can rate our guest hosts and see who you like the most.
No, I'm not doing that.
Maybe somebody one day will do that. I certainly cannot. So maybe one day Dave will do that.
Just let us know on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Five stars.
Five stars.
A+++++.
No, they have to choose how many beards they give the guest host and how many glasses they give the guest host.
Okay.
But really, thanks for coming.
Oh, hey, I'm happy to do it. And thank you guys. Is this my moment to plug things?
Yeah, plug away.
February 21st, come see Angry Fags at Seven Stages Theater in Atlanta, Georgia. It runs through the middle of March, March 17th, I believe. It is a world premiere play by Topher Payne that is about, you know, what happens when gay people stop waiting for it to get better and try to make it better. And you can hopefully also see me in other shows in Atlanta. Go see rooneysworld.com and visit me online. Follow me on Twitter at jcobster. Yay. JKOBBSTER.
And while you're online, please subscribe to us on iTunes.
Subscribe.
Then you won't miss an episode. We don't have to worry about it. And you don't have to worry about it.
Subscribe to Tadpog. Five stars. Help the algorithms.
Yeah, we got our rhythms. They need an algers.
It's good for everybody.
They need Uncle and Grandpa algers. You can go to tadpog.com. You can catch the episodes there. Or facebook.com/tadpog. Like us, then you will be included in all of our pithy and witty banter.
Hello.
Lol.
And then thanks to Sycamore Drive for our intro song Moves. A link to the track can be found in the show notes. That's all we got.
Next week.
Yeah. We should probably tell you what's coming on next week.
Next week, we're going to be talking about Tiny Toons Adventures, Buster Busts Loose.
It's a changing gear so hard it would destroy a transmission. Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Football level's awesome.
Can't talk about it yet.
No, spoilers.
Oh, that's all. The end.
The level with the wolves.
The level with punching wolves is great. This has officially become my favorite podcast. I want it to be Tyler and Dave fight wolves.